From John chapter 14, starting at verse number 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For the past several weeks, we have looked deeply into the words that were spoken by Jesus himself of himself. He spoke these words as a way to explain and describe himself to his followers. He uses an emphatic phrase, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus speaks these affirmative words to his followers, us, as a way of saying, I am what I need to be for you and for me. I am here to meet the deepest needs buried in the depths of our spirits and souls. He is able to be even more than what we need. He offers to us this ongoing offer to receive him, to feed us the bread of life, to give us clarity, the light of the world, to lead us, the good shepherd, the gate, to give us hope for a better ending, the resurrection and the life. And many of us, like the early disciples, particularly in a moment like this, in the midst of a pandemic, we're troubled. Jesus describes his destination. He speaks of where he is going, and ultimately says it's going to be where we are going, his followers. And while describing that destination, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Focus on that for just a second. Today's declaration by Jesus seems to be the one that is void of cultural metaphors. Jesus makes a pretty direct claim about himself. It is important to hear this statement as a response to a question. Thomas, one of his disciples, who is often connected with doubting. But Thomas here, he asks Jesus a question regarding this destination of which Jesus speaks. Jesus has already spoken to his troubled disciples, the troubled hearts of these disciples. In the previous chapter, after Jesus had eaten a meal with them and washed their feet, he says this to them in chapter 11 or chapter 13 in verse number 33. He says, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. This was a source of concern for the disciples. Hence, Jesus begins to assure them with words of comfort. And so when we get to chapter 14, the very first words of chapter 14 is, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It's just like Jesus to give comforting words to his disciples, you know, just as a parent would give to their child when they're going somewhere. And you look in the eyes of your children and say, "Hey, I need to go somewhere for a little while." And sometimes little kids don't understand that. And they get that look of concern, like where are you going? Or when are you coming back? Or are you going to bring me something back? Or are you going to take me with you? Jesus sees the troubled hearts. He sees the concerned looks, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It's just like Jesus to give comforting words to his disciples, like a parent to a child. Sometimes we just need to hear. We don't need a huge, long diatribe or thesis on the matter. Sometimes we just need to hear a few simple words like, "Everything's going to be all right." Sometimes we just need to hear, "Don't worry. Be happy. It's all right." Sometimes we just need to hear, "You're going to get through this." And so Jesus provides for his disciples an encouraging word about their destiny and their destination. Jesus is going somewhere, and he's going to prepare a place. What Jesus wants most for his disciples is to know that he is going somewhere and that they are going to be with him. And I just don't know how best to make this truth any clearer. Above all, God, the God of the universe, the big God that we sing worship, praise songs to, the God that we are in fear of, the God that we worship because he's so ginormous, that huge, big God, above all things, he wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to hang out with you. He wants you in his presence. Story after story, verse after verse, God is trying to communicate his love for us and his desire to be in communion with us. For so long, we have viewed religion and church as some transactional and disconnected reality. In truth, God has longed for a relationship that was established in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth and he created the first humans. He longs for a relationship where humans can walk alongside God in the cool of the day. He longs for a relationship that is full of mutually enjoying one another's presence. As much as we have complained about being in quarantine over the past couple of months, I wonder how many of us have considered for the past two months how much time we get to spend with God. How much time have we spent really reconnecting with the God that longs to be with us? How much of this time at home have we considered what it really means to be at home? Jesus lets us know he is going to a place to prepare for us to come and live with him and rest with him and enjoy him. "I'm going to prepare a place." And so Thomas asks, "How will we know the way?" Well, I'm glad you asked that, Thomas. Jesus says, "Listen, bruh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And one of the most exclusive claims that Jesus makes of himself, Jesus explains the way, the journey, the path, the roadmap to intimacy with God. I love this statement. Jesus didn't have to throw shade at other paths. Shades means saying something derogatory about another path or way. He didn't have to throw shade at other paths or other religions or other ideologies. He simply and boldly makes a claim about the path to his Father and the intimacy we so eagerly desire. Probably our greatest need. We can talk about a bunch of needs, and we've talked about a ton of needs during this series, but our most basic need is intimacy with God, this sense of belonging. And so Jesus describes a path to everyone. No one is left out. You know, it's as if he says, you know what? I am the way. For those of you who say, show me. I'm a visual learner. I learn by following examples. So see Jesus. So I want you to see Jesus, you visual learner. See Jesus spending time with his Father. See him praying to his Father. See Jesus listening to his Father and enjoying the presence of his Father. See Jesus spending time serving others and loving people. See Jesus placing all of his trust in God the Father. He says, I am the truth, as perhaps a way to those who say, teach me something. I want you to hear Jesus speaking words of truth like love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Hear Jesus saying, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear Jesus as he teaches us how to treat others and how to worship and how to live on this earth. He says, I am the life. Maybe to those who say, I want to experience you. I want you to change my life. You want to experience new life? Follow my lead, Jesus says, because God gave his only son, that's me, Jesus speaking, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. Are you tired? Are you weary? Come away with me and let me show you the rhythms of grace. His description of himself, Jesus's description of himself in this I am statement is an all-encompassing reality that contains an offer to be with him and to know him, to learn of him and to experience him. And it's important to know this about Jesus, because it might just be that we will be here on this earth for a little while longer. And while we're here, we are invited to live into this relationship with Jesus, a relationship in Jesus. This will create a space here on earth where the life and ministry of Jesus will remain and carry on while we are here. Further down in John chapter 14, starting at verse number 11, Jesus says this, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Accepting the invitation to live in the way, the truth, and the life is an invitation to believe in him and in the Father who sent him, and in him participate in some works. Works equal to Jesus? No. Jesus says those who believe in him will do even greater works. This morning, I want us to take some time, and I want us to take a cue from this. Our world is in a really, really, really strange place at the moment. And to be honest, right now, I could use some folks who are living in the way, the truth, and the life, because I could benefit from some of these greater works. I could use a dose of Jesus followers displaying their faith and calm in Jesus. I could use a word from Jesus followers that doesn't sound like the political rhetoric or the partisan debates that's all over this pandemic. Quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing that mess. I'm ready to hear from some Jesus followers that know they're on the way. They're in truth. They're in life. And I want to experience works from his followers that are not troubled because they know that they have a dwelling place in Jesus. They know where they're going. What do you think, church? You think the world could use a dose of that right now? Do the world really need a debate on whether we should wear a mask or not? Or do they need a dose of a Jesus reality? An invitation to intimacy and life with him. The world could benefit from a group of people who know where they are going and are not deterred in this world because they know they have a dwelling place built by Jesus himself. And in that place, there are many dwelling places, room for all of us. African slaves in America during American slavery would sing a song that says, plenty good room. There's plenty good room. Plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. Choose your seat and sit down. It's time for us during this pandemic to express a message. There is plenty good room. The people says, well, what about this room of which you speak? You tell them that there is a room, there is a way, there is a roadmap, there is a journey that is firmly planted in the Jesus way. That there is an intimacy. Awaiting you in Jesus because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I'm so glad that further down in this chapter, Jesus said, if my words are not enough for you, I want to leave you something. Down in verse number 26, he says, I'm going to send you a comfort. Holy Spirit. See, Jesus' followers has his spirit within them to lead them, to guide them, and to comfort them. And right now, church, I think we ought to pray for the unleashing of God's Holy Spirit on this earth, on this planet. that will lead people to the way, the truth, and the life. Churches, this is my submission. It's a humble submission. The only way we're really going to get through this pandemic is through Jesus. As I have done in previous weeks, I want us to spend some time focusing on the way, the truth, and the life. There's something that is troubling you. Use this moment to pray. If this is a moment where you need to be consoled, you need God's Holy Spirit to come and to comfort you like you have never been comforted before, let this be that moment. May this be the moment where we take our cue to participate in the works of Jesus, to do greater works. So right now, this planet needs greater works. I invite you into the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. O Lord, giver of life, come, Lord Jesus, and free us. Come, Lord Jesus, and heal us. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us. We are grateful for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. We are grateful for your presence, your patience, and your persistence. We long for normalcy, but we desire more for your way. We long for answers, but we yearn more for your truth. We long for regular life, but we crave more for your abundant life. Thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, giver of life, come free us, come heal us, come save us. In Jesus' name, amen.